The beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 24, and we're going to look at one verse this morning, and we're going to be preaching on Abraham this morning. And I thank God for Abraham and his example through the Old Testament and how he's mentioned in the New Testament. And Abraham, remember, he was a Gentile from Ur of the Chaldees. He was like you and I. And God called and separated him and made him to be a Jew and made him to be a great nation, a father over many nations. And he presided over Abraham's bosom in the center of the earth, waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. What a great man that Abraham was. So if you found Genesis 24, verse 1, say amen, and I know you're there. Amen. Genesis 24, verse number 1. And notice what it says, "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And what I want to preach on this morning is this little thought. It's a new year. And I don't know about you, I want to be blessed in 2022. And I'm going to preach on this thought of being blessed in all things. You know, everything that Abraham did, God blessed it. And God put his hand upon it. And even some of the wrong things that Abraham did, God still blessed that. You say, why? Because God's blessing was upon him. And can I tell you, hey, when you're blessed and God's commanded to be blessed, no man can curse. Thank God for that. You say, and what's the illustration? Can I tell you, God has blessed his people. Amen. To be a child of God, to be have the King of Kings as our Lord and our Savior, I can tell you this morning that the Christian is a blessed person. So let's pray, and then I'll bring the message. Father, I pray you bless the Word, and I pray the Holy Spirit of God would speak to all of our hearts. And God, we want the blessings of Abraham. God, we want the blessings above all of Jesus Christ upon our lives. And God, and Lord, you have blessed us from heaven above all that we could ask or think. And God, as we preach on this thought of being blessed, and being blessed in all things, God, that's what I want in my life. I want everything in my life to be blessed. And I pray as we look at the pattern, we look at the example this morning, that we can make the right application. Bless the Word and help me to bring it, Father. And God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm going to preach on this thought. The Lord gave me this message a couple weeks ago, and he told me that he wanted me to preach it on the first Sunday. And so here we are, the first Sunday. And, you know, when it comes to when it comes to Abraham, there's one thing we know for sure, that Abraham was a blessed man. He was a blessed man. And you know, when it comes to being blessed, that doesn't happen on accident. You know, you look at some people and say, why are they so blessed? Well, there's a reason they're so blessed. Why are people so cursed? There's a reason that they're so cursed. You know, and when it comes to being blessed, it doesn't happen on accident. It doesn't happen all the time. You think about that for a minute. You know, but when it does, it's a direct result of having the ability to be the friend of God. Brother Dale mentioned this morning that Abraham was the friend of God. Now, I always, in my mind, I thought it said that in the book of Genesis, but it doesn't. It alludes to that Abraham was the friend of God. But where it says it is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 5. And Jehoshaphat is the one who says it. And as Jehoshaphat prays, and it says, "And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem and the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou the God in heaven, and rulest thou over all the kingdoms of heaven? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever?" Thank God, Abraham was the friend of God. Now we know that Moses was the friend of God. Hey, we know that David had a special relationship with God. Samuel had a special relationship with God. But you know, as a child of God, as a Christian, we can all have a special relationship with God. Hallelujah for that. Because the Holy Spirit lives within us. Amen. And what is it that I always say? Happiness is the Lord. Amen. I always say that happiness is the Lord. And you say, well, how do you experience happiness? Jesus said, he declared it in the book of John, if ye love me, keep my commandments. He repeated that phrase three times. He said that in John 14. Look in John 14. John 14, he said, if you love me, if you love me. And let me tell you, if you keep the commandments and if you love the Lord, if you obey what Christ has said, and I'm not talking about the Old Testament commandments. I'm talking about all the commandments in the Bible, the precepts, the things that Jesus taught. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said in verse 15 of chapter 14. If you look in verse 21, it says, he that hath my commandments and keep them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. In chapter 15 and verse 10, he said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Three times for emphasis, he said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now, I know this, if we obey and do God's will, we're going to be blessed in our life because happiness is the Lord. What did Abraham do? Abraham did the same thing. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 17, just flip back a few pages, Genesis 17 and verse number 1, it talks about Abraham. Notice what it says, when Abraham was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thou shalt be called Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, and I will give thee unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, and an everlasting possession, I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee and their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and my seed after thee, and every man child among you shall be circumcised. What's the ideal here? God said, hey, there were no Ten Commandments, but there was a covenant. And God had commanded him to keep the covenant. And what was that? To be circumcised and to dwell in the land. And we know that Abraham did that, and he was blessed. Look in chapter number 18. Chapter 18, verse 17 and 19, it says, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children, his household after him, and he shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice, judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. You say, why did God bring the blessings upon him? Because he kept the covenant. He kept his laws. He kept his judgments. He kept his precepts. You know, he kept his commandments. And again, how important is that? He taught his children to keep the commandments. And you know, and all the world was blessed in Abraham. Amen. And as I mentioned in Luke 16, he was over Abraham's bosom. Remember when the rich man cried, Father Abraham? Hey, God had blessed him in life, and guess what? God had blessed him in death. You say, what is that a picture of, the child of God? We're blessed in life, and what are we going to be in death? We're going to be blessed in death, because we're going to be with the Lord forever. He blessed him in all things. From his beginning to his ending, God had blessed him in all things. Why? Because keeping his commandments is the way to be blessed. Obeying God, believing in him. And can I tell you, if it was good for Abraham, it's good for you and I also. Amen. What does Psalms 1:1 say? And we have these verses memorized. Most people do. They're familiar. Psalms 1:1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Can I tell you, just walking in the fear of the Lord is the way to be blessed. You want to be blessed in all things? Then keep the charge of the Lord. Keep the commandments of the Lord. Make your Christianity real in your life every day. That's what obeying the Lord is. That's what keeping His commandments is. It's practicing your Christianity as you walk and as you go through your life in every day, living for the Lord and keeping His principles. He said, therefore, verse 4, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Can I tell you, the way of the ungodly is going to perish. And if you want to be blessed in all things, there's a way to be blessed in all things. And it's keeping the charge of the Lord. Now you say, what's the result of that? I got four simple little things. The first thing is your family will be blessed. Did God bless Abraham's family? God blessed Abraham, God blessed Isaac, and God blessed Jacob. Hallelujah. But did God bless Ishmael also? Yes, he did. He made a people of him. He made a nation of him. And God told his mother, and I just forgot her name. Hate when that happens. What was her name? Hagar. God told Hagar, he said, hey, he's going to be a mighty nation also, and the blessings of God are going to be on him. Remember when Abraham said, oh, that Ishmael might live, and said, don't you worry, I'm going to bless Ishmael, but the promise is going to be in Isaac. Did God bless Ishmael? God blessed him. Poor old Esau. Did God bless Esau? God even blessed Esau. I mean, he's a picture of living in the flesh. I mean, all he ever wanted to do was satisfy his flesh. And no doubt it hurt him in his life. Until he met Jacob, returning from Ur of the Chaldees. Until he blessed Jacob. Until he forgave his brother. And then he went on. And God blessed his seed, and he had 12 princes, 12 kings that came of his seed. Even Esau, when he got with a program, God blessed his life. Did God bless the sons of Keturah? Oh, God bless the sons of Keturah. No doubt. All those other children that Abraham had, every one of them was blessed. And as a result, the world was blessed. You say, can you prove that? Sure, look in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter number 3. We all got in on the blessings of Abraham. Hallelujah, and thank God that we did. Acts chapter number 3, and in verse number 24, of course, Peter's preaching on there around the day of Pentecost, and he's declaring all that God has done. Acts 3, and in verse number 24, notice what it says. Acts 3 and 24. And it says, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as here have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. For ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and my seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed." Hey, hallelujah. We all get on the blessings of Abraham. Thank God that we can. And it's through Christ. Galatians chapter number 3, Paul writing to the believers in Galatia. And of course, they were talking about the law and circumcision and had concerns about all those things. But notice what he said to them concerning Abraham. And look over there, Galatians 3 and in verse number 8. And he says, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and thee shall all nations be blessed." Thank God we can be blessed. And you say, well, how? Keeping God's laws, keeping God's judgments, keeping God's precepts, keeping God's commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments were good. Can I say that again? The Ten Commandments were good? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind was a great commandment. You know what's missing in the day in which we live? It's that love for God Almighty. That love, that endearing love to want to be with God, to want to walk with God, to want to obey God in our lives. The first commandment was a great commandment. Jesus Christ said it was a great commandment. And it was great then and it's great now. You say, I want to be blessed in everything I do. Then keep God first in your life. Why is it that God always has to be last in Christians' life? Hey, we say, well, why aren't I blessed? Because God's not first in your life. God wants to be first in our lives. You know, we live in a day when everything comes before God. Everything comes before God. And you know, and God doesn't want any... Hey, you ever wonder why he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me? Because God didn't want to have anything in front of him. He wanted to be first in line. Does it say that in the New Testament? It does. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God doesn't tolerate rivals. God doesn't like idols. God doesn't want anything to be in front of him. Hey, if our family is going to be blessed, then God's going to have to be first. What did Abraham do? He put God first in his life. He even put him before his only son. I mean, did God not ask him to take him up to Mount Moriah and sacrifice him in the altar? And did not Abraham do it? And God says, because you've done this thing, I'm going to bless you and your seed for all eternity. You say, what's the lesson there? Put God first. And when you put God first, guess what? God's going to bless your family. Abraham's family was blessed. Everyone that he was a father of, God blessed every one of them because he put God first. So many times we think we got to put our children first or our husband first or our wife first. Can I tell you that's a mistake? God has got to be first. Keeping God first in the line. And Abraham did that. If you look in Genesis 15... You know, the Bible in that first few books of Genesis has a lot to say about Abraham. Genesis 15 and verse number 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You say, what it is? Hey, I'm giving you this promise. I'm giving you. And he said, Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? He says, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowel shall be thine heir. God said, I'm going to bless your family because you put me first. You want to be blessed in 2022 in all things? You want your family to be blessed? Then God's going to have to be first. He's going to have to be first. And God's principles and God's laws and God's judgments are going to have to be first. God gave a promise to all of us in the book of Psalms. Look in Psalms chapter number 19. You know, I believe these Old Testament promises, and I claim them all the time. Because, hey, these things were written for us. They were written for our learning. They were written through for our patience of the Scriptures. They were written for our admonition. They were written for us to claim God's promises. Psalms 19, verse 7 says, and the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. What happens when you keep his commandments, his judgments, his precepts? What happens when you obey what he's commanded us throughout the Scriptures? Well, what happens is you're blessed in all things. Many times people say, Brother Chris, he said, you know, and they've told me this many times. Man, you are so blessed. And you know what I say? You're right, I am blessed. God has blessed us in all things. But can I tell you, hey, what has made me to be blessed, if I'm blessed at all, has been obeying the Lord and putting Him first. And it has caused God's blessings upon my life. In Psalms 144. And I don't think that I have a special place. I think everyone can be blessed in all things. We're all kings and priests in God's economy if you're a child of God. And we all can have the blessings of Abraham upon our lives. Psalms 144 and verse number 11. And again, this whole ideal of being blessed. And that God can be with us. This is the prayer there. Notice what it says. Look at verse 12. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. They're talking about your family being blessed. That's what we're talking about. And our garners may be full, affording all manner of store. That our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000 in the streets. That our oxen may be strong to labor. That there be no breaking in or going out. That there be no complaining in our streets. And happy is that people that is in such a case. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Can I say this? And I got 42 years of experience to say it. Some of you have more than that. But people who go to church and believe in God and walk in His ways always seem to be blessed. They always seem to be blessed. And I wish everyone could figure that out, that happiness is the Lord. You want your family to be blessed? Then be in the place of God's blessing. Where was the place of God's blessing for Abraham? In the land of Palestine. That was the place of God's blessing. Where's the place of God's blessing in the New Testament? In the church. It's in the church. And as long as Abraham was in the land, he was being blessed. And as long as people are in the church, can I tell you what? They're going to be blessed. 40 years of ministry, I have seen so many people get out of church and their lives fall apart. You say, why? They got out of the place of God's blessing. I mean, the only time Abraham got in trouble is he went down to Egypt and God told him, don't go down to Egypt no more. And when Jacob got ready to go down to Egypt and Joseph had called him there, Jacob went up to Bethel and said, I better pray about this because we're not supposed to be in Egypt. And God said, hey, Jacob, go on down to Egypt, and I'm going to make a great people of you, and they're going to be afflicted 400 years. And God had told that to Abraham already. Because Egypt is the place of affliction. Hey, when the child of God gets out in the world, guess what? There's going to be affliction. My daughter Rebecca said this week, she said, Dad, you know, I could never figure out why you were such against alcohol. And why you were such against being around people that were drinking or doing drugs. She said, Dad, I know exactly why you're against it now. I said, well, glory to God, we're making progress. We're making progress. Hey, you kids that are here today, if you think alcohol is ever going to bring you anything, let me tell you, it's not going to bring you nothing but misery and suffering and heartache. And drugs will be 100 times worse. You know the leading cause of death in America right now is drug overdose from fentanyl. It has overtaken cancer. One of your idiot friends say, here, hey, take this pill. Hey, pop this little thing. Put this little thing in your mouth. Let me tell you, you don't know what's in that thing. And it only takes, this thing of fentanyl is so small that you almost have to look at it under a magnifying glass to see it. And it's enough to kill 10 people. Don't tell me, happiness is the Lord. You want your family to be blessed? Then walk in the counsels of the Lord. Abraham was blessed. I wish everybody could figure out, was America a better place when everyone went to church on Sunday? Or is America a better place now when nobody does? Well, you got to be careful everywhere you go. You're not even safe in your own house. I read just yesterday, a lady, they were robbed in their garage. They went out to their garage and they were robbed at gunpoint in their garage and they took their car. You say, what's the problem? I guarantee if everybody was in church on Sunday, we wouldn't have that kind of problem going on. But see, the house of God is empty all over America. And we think, God help us, when's it going to get any better? When God's people get back to the house of God, maybe. We need to be in church. We need to be walking with Jesus Christ. Your neighbors need to know, hey, that you go faithfully and you attend regularly. Abraham was blessed. And his family was blessed. I don't know about you, I want my family to be blessed. And knowing my family, and I know this, everyone hates this one, but I want my finances to be blessed. I didn't say one thing about giving last year. I didn't. Normally I preach first Sunday of the year, I preach on giving. And I wasn't really planning on preaching on giving, it just went that way. You look at our financial report, we had a great year at Fellowship Baptist Church. And I would never preach on giving at all. I would never preach on giving because we don't need to preach on. God has blessed our giving at this church. But you know what? God blessed Abraham's finances. He was a poor man when he went out of Ur of Chaldees. But can I tell you, when it was all said and done, Abraham was a rich man. We're giving out the giving statements today. Brother Butch has got the giving statements. Make sure you get your giving statement. But can I tell you, there's a direct correlation to one's giving and one's financial blessings. There's a direct correlation between those things. This year was a great year for Lisa and I as far as our giving was concerned. And God has blessed us so much. And, you know, people always have told me, Brother Chris, you're never going to have everything because you always give everything away. I wish they could be here today to see how much we actually have. Because we did not go into the poorhouse by giving. By giving, God has blessed us above all we could ask or think. People that are the most stingiest who never give never have anything. They can never pay their bills. They can never, my goodness, they never have anything in their life because they never learned how to be blessed financially. Does the Bible tell us how to do that? Yes, it does. I quote these verses all the time, but look in Luke. Sometimes it always does your soul good to look at it. Luke 6 and in verse number 30. And Jesus Christ is the one who said these words. He's the one who proclaimed and said and gave us the pattern of how to be blessed in your life. Luke 6 and in verse number 30, and it says, give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Can I tell you, being a generous person is the way to be blessed in your life. I have never been hurt by giving to someone else. I have always been blessed by that. And anytime I help someone else, let me tell you, God always made it come back around. Because why? He's faithful. Look what it says. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them that do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend of them that hope to have received, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive such much again. But love ye your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. And give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. You can never outgive the Lord. And when you give to those that are in need and you give to those that you can make a difference in their life, can I tell you, God likes that. And God repays that. When you give, God gives back to you. That's why these people that never give anything and they're so stingy, they never have anything. Because there's a direct correlation with these things. And 2 Corinthians 9 says, he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, and every man according as he purposes his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye always having all sufficient in all things, may abound to every good work. We've given houses away. I didn't know if we'd ever have a house. But God said, "Don't, hey, anything you ever give to me, I'm going to repay it." And hallelujah, we have a house and it's paid for. You say, why? Because God repays. God repays. We gave our retirement away to build a fence in New Guinea. We did. It was half of our retirement. I said, God, if I could help these people, if I could pay for it, I would. And God said, you can. Quit your job, get your retirement, and pay for it. I told my wife, and I said, honey, I got something to tell you. She said, what's that? And I said, I told God, and she heard me pray. We prayed at the altar together. And she said, I knew when you prayed that was a mistake. And I was half thinking the same thing. Because, hey, when you say, God, I will, God may say, okay. God doesn't have pleasure in fools. You make God a promise, he expects you to do what? Keep it. Hey, I set the thing in order the next day. Went to work and set the thing in order. I love my father-in-law. He said, what are you thinking? What are you doing? How are you going to live in the future? What retirement will you ever have? Well, hallelujah. I can report to you that we have retirement. We've been paying into it. The church has been paying into it for the last 4 years, 3 years. And we have retirement. Matter of fact, we have three forms of retirement in the works as I speak. You say, how did that happen? Because God is faithful. And anything you give to God, God's going to give back to you. Sometimes I get excited when God asks certain things. I say, God, there's no telling what you're going to do in our lives. Hey, there's a blessing in giving. Did Abraham give? You know Abraham tithed. You know that, right? Everybody ought to tithe. Abraham tithed. Look over there in Genesis chapter number 14. You don't have to make these things up. They're right there in the Bible. Abraham tithed to the high priest of Salem. Look on over there. And Genesis chapter number 14 and verse number 17. When he came back from the slaughter of the kings and he had all this wealth and all this riches, notice what it says there in verse number 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer of the kings that were with him, and at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies thine hand." And he gave tithes of all. And Abraham gave tithes of what he wasn't even going to keep. But he said, I've learned that giving to God is a way to be blessed. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, look at the next verse. And Abraham said to the king of Sodom, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the preserver of heaven and earth, and I will not take from thee a thread, even to a shoe latch, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich." He said, "I'm not keeping none of it, but I'm gonna give a tithe to the prince of Salem, to Melchizedek the high priest." And we've read the book of we've read the book of Hebrews. He had no beginning, no ending, no father and no mother, and we know that that is Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. And he gave tithes of all. You know, it'd do us all good. Do us all good to tithe. Everybody ought to tithe. Everybody ought to give. You say, why? So you'll be blessed. Abraham was blessed because he gave. Has God commanded us to do the same? Hey, he gave generously, and God has commanded us to do the same. And 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, lest you think it's just Old Testament, it's New Testament as well. And again, you know, you say, why would you preach on this? Because it's a way for you to be blessed. You get there's a blessing of learning to give. "Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to all the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." We've always given above our tithe. You know why? Because I found that we were blessed in giving. And I mean, there were times when we were poor. When our tithe was $12, we were poor. That was poor. $12, $14. But we always rounded it up to $20 because I wanted to tithe and give an offering. And our financial success is because I learned to give when I had nothing. If everybody could learn to give, I'm telling you, God would open the windows of heaven and pour you down a blessing. It says that in Malachi. Very clearly. But you know, after 42 years, again, after 42 years to be saved, I've noticed that those who give to God are blessed, and those who don't are not. You know what the book of Haggai says? I mean, the book of Haggai over there before the book of Zechariah. The people of God were back in the land. They were supposed to build the temple and they didn't. They built their own houses. They put themselves first. And Haggai the prophet comes and he preaches to them. And this is what he says. He says for them to consider their ways. He says in verse number 4, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bring in little. You eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm. He that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." He tells them, verse 8, 9, and 10, hey, go to the mountain and build the house of God and see if I won't pour you out a blessing. You say, what did they do? They built the house of God and God poured them out a blessing. You know, it's a new year. You want to be blessed in your finances? Then learn to follow His commandments and give. You want to be blessed in your family? Learn to follow His commandments and serve the Lord. Not only were they blessed in family and blessed in their finances, but blessed in their faith. You know, Abraham believed God. That is a great attribute, to believe God. Abraham believed God in everything. Look in Genesis chapter number 12. In Genesis chapter number 12, again, we're talking about Abraham. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1 there. Talking about Abraham and what God did with him. Genesis 12 and verse number 1, it says, "And now the Lord had said unto Abraham, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and the land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee, and thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years when he departed out of Haran." You know, if we could learn to just obey God, to just believe God. The Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You know, the more you believe God and obey Him, the more God blesses your faith. He increases your faith to do greater works. Did Peter, James, and John do greater works than Christ? What did He tell them? "If you believe in Me, ye shall do greater works than these." It does say that in John chapter number 14. Look in John chapter number 14. Hey, when you obey God, your faith is going to be blessed, and there are things that God is going to allow you to do. John 14 and verse number 10, and He said this, let me get my spot. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for My very works' sakes." Who's He telling this to? The disciples. And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father." Hey, believing God is such an amazing thing. Wouldn't it be great? Brother Dale was talking about miracles. Wouldn't it be great to see some miracles in your own life? I've seen miracles in my life, and God has done miracles. And I look at those situations, I say, "God, You did that. That was the hand of Almighty God." But see, it's all based on keeping His commandments. The apostles did great things, but guess what? So can you. Believing and obeying God each day. That's where the blessings come from. Being at God's beckoning and God's command. When God says, "Go over there and give that person a gospel tract," and you believe Him and obey Him, that's where the blessings come in. God says, "Hey, go give that person $50. And you go over there and give them $50. That's where the blessings and God's goodness comes upon His children. And that's how we see God's miracles, by believing and obeying. 42 years, my faith has been so blessed, seeing God work over and over and over again, because I simply obeyed Him. You say, how do you get the miracles? By getting the small things right. You say, what's the small things? Coming to church every Sunday. Learning to tithe. Praying every day. Reading your Bible. And being a witness for Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, it's the small things that lead to big things. Do you think I ever would have went to the mission field if I couldn't come to church every Sunday? Would I ever been called to pastor Fellowship Baptist Church if I hadn't learned to pray and read my Bible and be faithful? To do big things, you have to learn to do small things. You say, what small things? coming to Sunday school, teaching a class. Hey, helping with the kids on Thursday, King's Kids, being in church on Wednesday. These are all small things. You say, Brother Chris, in the scheme of things, does it matter if I'm here or not? Of course it does. Because how is God going to give you something big if you can't do something small? How are you going to fit into the big plan of God if you can't fit into the small plan of God? We lament that the world's falling apart. We say, where are the preachers? Where are the missionaries? Well, what pool does God have to choose from? Who does God have to choose from? I mean, in most church, everyone sitting in the church has gray hair. Who does God have to choose from? Hey, these little kids need to be in church. These teenagers need to be in church. These 20-somethings and 30-somethings need to be in church. Because that's who God's going to choose to be the future leaders in Christianity. Walking with the Lord will bless your faith. You know why I can do big things today? Because I've trusted God with the small things. After giving my retirement to the work in New Guinea, if God said today, write the check, I'd write the check. Because we learned with the small things. If God said, resign the church and head off somewhere at the so-and-so place, I'd resign the church and head off the so-and-so place. Now I'm praying to God He doesn't ask that. Because I like it where we're at. But I'm telling you, if he asked me, the answer would be yes. Because I settled that thing a long time ago. God said, I want you to be in church every Sunday. And God, I said, yes, I will. And by saying yes to the small things, I've been able to say yes to the big things. Never going to say yes to the big things unless you're saying yes to the small things. Take those kids into your house and take care of them for 4 years. That's not something I ever want to repeat. But if God asked me to do it, I'd do it again. You see, obeying God is such an important thing. I tell people, you say, Brother Chris, can you do X, Y for me? I said, you talk to God about that, and if He talks to me, I will. But until He tells me to do it, I'm not doing it. I'm going to do anything God asks me to do. But you know what? That's what every one of us need to be doing. Every one of us. Abraham was so blessed. He was blessed in his family because he walked with God. He was blessed in his finances because he gave. He was blessed in his faith because he learned to do whatever God asked him to do. And the last thing is this, is he was blessed in his future. The poor rich man cried, Father Abraham, have mercy upon me and dip thy finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham's son, remember thou in thy lifetime, how thou received good things, and Lazarus tormented, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Abraham's over all of Abraham's bosom in the center of the earth. He was blessed in his life and he was blessed in his death. You know, the child of God is the same way. What did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So many people are afraid. If you're a child of God, you don't have to be afraid. Why are the children of God so afraid all the time? The Bible says, he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Death isn't scaring me. And death shouldn't be scaring you. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. You say, what can the child of God have? Gold, silver, and precious stones? Wood, hay, and stubble? You see, our future is going to be blessed if we'll walk with Jesus Christ. You may never have a mansion on this side of eternity, but I promise you, there's one waiting for you on the other side. Abraham didn't have a certain dwelling place. He wandered in the land of promise. But Hebrews says that he looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And Abraham didn't get that till after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But see, he walked with God. What is it God wants for you and me? He wants us to walk with Him. So we can rule and reign with Him as kings and priests for 1,000 years on the earth. You know how blessed your future is totally dependent upon you. How you live for 1,000 years in God's new kingdom is going to be decided by how you live for Him now. I don't know about you. I want my future to be blessed. I know my eternity is blessed because I've read the book of Revelation. And there's a mansion waiting for me. But that 1,000-year millennial reign is completely dependent upon how you live for Jesus now. Was Abraham blessed? The Bible says he was blessed in all things. It says, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. You know what I can say? God has blessed Chris Paponis in all things. God has blessed Miss Lisa in all things. We sit around and talk and say, God has been so good to us. And we are so undeserving of His blessings. You want to be blessed? There's a way to be blessed. You can be blessed, and God wants to bless your life. But it all comes down to how willing you are to walk with God. God holds His hands out and says, come walk with me. Come walk with me and let's go to church. Come walk with me and let's go across the street and talk to your neighbor. Come walk with me and let's go help that homeless person. Hey, come walk with me. And let's do this great thing. Do you want to walk with Him? Do you want to be blessed? You can be. Abraham was and is, and you can be also. Let's stand for prayer. Brother Doug and Miss Susan are coming this morning. You say, Brother Chris, there's just a few people here and you're preaching to the choir. No, I'm preaching to everybody this morning. And those that are listening on Facebook and Sermon Audio and YouTube, I'm preaching to them also. Those that are here and those that are not here, we're preaching to everybody. But you know, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Because I have to remind myself all the time when God says, hey, come walk with me, Brother Chris. And every now and then I'm a little reluctant. Every now and then I'm a little slow about it. And every now and then I'm thinking, you know, and God's saying, come walk with me. Come walk with me. And I remind myself all the time, the way to be blessed is walking with God. If you're walking with God, you're going to be blessed. But if you walk away from God, you're never going to be blessed. I say, let's all walk with God. It's a new year. Let's walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And God, we want to walk with you. Abraham walked with you up and down the promised land, and you blessed him in everything. God, you blessed his house. You blessed his, Lord, all of his animals. God, you blessed his wealth. Lord, you blessed it all. And then you blessed all of his children. And Lord, then you blessed him with Isaac. And God, the whole world was blessed as a result of him being blessed. And God, I want to be blessed in my life. It's a new year. And we can't rest upon the blessings of the past. God, we're looking for the blessings of the present. Lord, no doubt we were blessed in 2020 and 2021. And God, we've been blessed every year here at Fellowship Baptist Church. There's no doubt about that. But God, we want to continue to be blessed. And Lord, we want to walk with you. And we want to keep the charge of the Lord. We want to keep the covenant of the Lord. We want to keep the commandments of the Lord. God, I pray you'd work in each of our lives. Please bless the invitation, Father. Do what you will. And God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed, music's playing.